Hello, and welcome to the Cupertino Symphonic Band Veterans Day Concert. I'm Bob Sheets. I'm the current president of the Cupertino Symphonic Band, and I'm pleased to tell you about our announcer for this concert. Robert Miller of San Jose will be joining us. Robert spent his early years in Baltimore, Maryland, and began his higher education at Morgan State College. However, after 2 years of college, his wanderlust and less than stellar performance in the academic arena caused him to join the U.S. Air Force to avoid being drafted into the Army. Given the choice, that sounds like a good one. But they're all good. So, in the beginning of 1971, he found himself stationed at Cam Ranh Bay in South Vietnam. Robert attributes his one-year tour of duty in Southeast Asia to teaching him the meaning of duty, responsibility, and teamwork. Upon returning to the U.S., he completed his education at San Jose State University. He says the lessons learned in Vietnam, coupled with a positive attitude, carried him through the day-to-day challenges of his 30-plus year career as a member of the Lockheed Martin management team. Though Robert played violin for a few years as a child, he gave it up for the normal high school activities such as track, wrestling, and shooting pool. He's excited to be able to support the Cupertino Symphonic Band as our announcer for our Veterans Day performance. Please welcome Robert to our concert.
Thank you very much, Bob. I had the pleasure of working with Bob several years in my Lockheed career, and that bio isn't exactly as I wrote it, but it is true. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. And for the Cupertino Symphonic Band's annual tribute to those who've served in the Armed Forces of America, America's veterans. And I'm very proud of the fact that I was a member, I was able to be a veteran and be a member of the Air Force. And that was in the days, as Bob mentioned, where the only qualifications you had to have was poor college grades. I was able to accomplish that. I'd like to ask you to please turn off your cell phones at this time, okay? So that we don't interfere with the band as they are performing. So please take a moment and let's do that. To start off this program, I would like to share some information about a member of the Cupertino Symphonic Band, Gene Davies. Gene was a member of the horn section for more than a decade. But before she joined the band, she came to many CSB concerts. Jean would always talk to the conductor and the members of the horn section, as it was quite apparent she had a love of music and especially the horn. Turns out she had not played her horn in quite a while, and with several invitations to join the group, she finally got out her horn and started playing again. The band had many fine times and musical moments with Jean in the horn section. And when she passed away last July, we knew that we would miss her. In honor of her memory, the CSB Horn Quartet will perform one of her favorite hymns, Eternal Father, Strong and Brave, also known as the Navy Hymn. The original words were written as a poem in 1860 by William Whiting of Winchester, England, for a student who was about to leave to sail for the United States. The melody, published in 1861, was composed by fellow Englishman Reverend John Backus Dykes, an Episcopalian clergyman. The hymn, found in most hymnals, is known as the Navy Hymn. Because it is sung at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, the version you will now hear was transcribed by a member of the horn section, Ted Hasegawa. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next piece, Eagle Squadron March by Kenneth Alfred. Alfred, who has been called the British March King, wrote this march in 1942 as a thank you to the American pilots of the Eagle Squadron who joined the British Royal Air Force in 1940. Before the United States entered the war, listen carefully and see if you can hear small sections of the Star Spangled Banner in the low brass during the trio. Alfred held a number of musical posts during his distinguished career in the British Army and the Royal Marines. His best-known march is Colonel Bogey, which was used in the film Bridge Over the River Kwai. At this point, I would like to share a little background on our conductor for this afternoon. Jason McChristian received his bachelor's and master's degrees in music composition from San Jose State University, and his music has been performed nationally by renowned ensembles such as the Premier Saxophone Quartet, Nautilus Brass Quintet, and the San Jose Chamber Orchestra. He currently teaches music at the elementary school level and works for the San Jose Chamber Orchestra, but above all, Jason feels honored to be conducting the Cupertino Symphonic Band and looks forward to many performances with this group. Please welcome CSB's new conductor, Jason McChristian. Thank you. Now the next piece, American Overture, by Joseph Wilcox Jenkins. This work was composed for the United States Army Field Band in 1955. While the composer was on the arranging staff for that group and is dedicated to its conductor, Chester E. Whiting. Its driving rhythms, sweeping melodies, strong accents, and virtuosic demands characterize the work. The initial declaration in unison horn is among the most recognized in the repertoire.
Thank you.
I'm sure we didn't have anyone sleeping through that one. The next piece, Shenandoah, by Frank Ticelli. The Shenandoah Valley and the Shenandoah River are located in Virginia. The origin of the name for this river and valley is obscure. The Shenandoah we are about to hear is a traditional American folk song of uncertain origin, dating at least to the early 19th century. Many variants of the melody and text have been handed down through the years, with the most popular telling the story of an early settler's love for a Native American woman. The composer wrote of this piece, "In my setting of Shenandoah, I was inspired by the freedom and beauty of the folk melody and by the natural images evoked by the words, especially the image of a river. I was less concerned with the sound of a rolling river than with its life-affirming energy, its timelessness. Sometimes the accompaniment flows quietly under the melody, other times it breathes alongside it. The work's mood ranges from quiet reflection through growing optimism to profound exaltation."
Thank you.
This next piece, one of my favorites, St. Louis Blues, the march by W.C. Handy and arranged by Jerry Gray. St. Louis Blues is a popular American song composed by W.C. Handy in the blues style. It remains a fundamental part of jazz musicians' repertoire. It was also one of the first blues songs to succeed as a pop song. It has been performed by numerous musicians of all styles, from Louis Armstrong and Bessie Smith to Count Basie, Glenn Miller, Guy Lombardo, and the Boston Pops Orchestra. In this arrangement by Jerry Gray, he unites the blues form and the march, a form that was influenced, that was an influence on the ragtime musical form. The combining of the blues progression and the march are both ancestors and influences in early jazz. This W.C. Handy St. Louis Blues is arranged by Jerry Gray and was a hit recording by Tex Beneke. Maestro McChristian leads the band in a true-to-form rendition in the Tex Beneke style. I don't know about you, but I had trouble staying in my chair on that one. This next piece, Ceremonies Past and Present, is written by Jason McChristian. Commissioned by the Milpitas Community Concert Band earlier this year, Ceremonies Past and Present is a celebratory work featuring a serene melody first presented by the flute and then French horn. Throughout the work, the melody is cast in different settings, often accompanied by fanfare. Finally, the work ends at its most majestic, bringing the work to its triumphant close. This next piece, Hymn to the Fallen by John Williams from the movie Saving Private Ryan, was transcribed for concert band by Paul Lavender. Steven Spielberg's 20-year association with John Williams has produced yet another powerful cinematic achievement, this time a gripping, realistic view of the horrors of World War II. Williams' score includes this simple hymn using chorus as an instrument, adding a special reverence and poignancy to the simple melody. Arranger Paul Lavender brings us this addition for the concert band stage. At this time, I'd like to welcome our guest vocalist. Sarah Oliphant, Emily Lane, Kathy Hegstrom, Robin Erskine, Jeremy Erskine, Ed Hegstrom, and Eric Nielsen. Now, this concludes the first half of our program, and we're going to take a short intermission. You know, before we do that, though, could we just have another round of applause for the band here? Now, I want to thank all of you who brought canned goods to donate to the West Valley Community Services. Since we've been doing this, over 400 pounds of canned goods have been donated. Also, I want to remind you that the CSB, the Cupertino Symphonic Band, is a nonprofit organization and therefore appreciates your monetary donations. Please place your donations in Tubi. That's the tuba over there by the entrance. It has a plastic top on it, just big enough for your checks. Refreshments, we're going to take a 12.5-minute intermission. And refreshments are available in the lobby for purchase. The proceeds go to the band. Please return to your seats in time to enjoy some music from the CSB Jazz Band and the conclusion of our performance with the Cupertino Symphonic Band. Okay? Thank you. Okay, welcome back to the second half. Did everybody find Tubi successfully? Was everybody able to find Tubi? If you had any problems at all finding Tubi or getting your donation into Tubi, there will be members of the band available after the presentation to help you. And if anyone in here leaves without finding Tubi, there will be a large Suburban with blacked out windows out in the front waiting to talk to you. Okay, our jazz band, now we're going to hear from our CSB Jazz Band. And our jazz band's first selection is Satin Doll by Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn, arranged by Sammy Nesko. Originally written in 1953 without voice, the lyrics were later added, and the vocal version has been recorded countless times. Its chord progression is well known for its unusual use of chords. Originally, Satin Doll, with its Ellington piano solo, was a modest hit, entering the pop charts in June and rising to number 27.
Thank you.
Well, that was certainly quite nice. The jazz band's next number is a nightingale sang in Barclay, pronounced the British way, Barclay Square, by Manning Sherwin and Eric Moswich, arranged by Roger Holmes. Barclay Square is a large leafy square in Mayfair, an expensive part of London. With its sweet, wistful song, the European robin is a likely source of the legendary nightingale, as birds, stimulated by the streetlights, can often be heard singing in cities during the night. The song was written in the then-small French fishing village of Les Lavandeaux, a favorite resort for British holidaymakers and second homeowners, shortly before the outbreak of the Second World War. The arrangement that's performed here today is without voice. Now, our next piece is called You'd Be So Nice to Come Home. Excuse me, You'd Be So Nice to Come Home Too, by Cole Porter, arranged by Dave Wolpe. You'd Be So Nice to Come Home Too was originally a popular song written by Cole Porter for the 1943 film Something to Shout About, where it was introduced by Janet Blair and Don Ameche. Diana Shore had a major hit with the song at the time of its introduction. Diane Keaton performed the song in Woody Allen's movie Radio Days. It has been recorded over 50 times, and in this arrangement, the vocal part is covered by the band.
One, two, three, four.
Okay, so that concludes our CBS Jazz Band performance, and we're going to go back now to the Cupertino Symphonic Band. And you know, while they're transitioning, I think we should give them another round of applause. So the first piece for the Cupertino Symphonic Band is going to be Summon the Heroes by John Williams, arranged by John Higgins. This piece was originally written for the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. For Williams, the music evokes a certain sense of scale. He quoted, "You don't write the same kind of piece that you're going to play for an audience of 1,000 as if you're going to play out on the Esplanade for an audience of 250,000. Williams concentrates on the overall effect of the piece rather than the small details. From the spectacular antiphonal brass choirs that open and recur in Summon the Heroes, Williams' piece provides a wonderful example of a musical depiction of heroism."
We'll be right back.
Well done. Well, for our next piece, we're going to have the Armed Forces Salute, arranged by Bob Loudon. This is an impressive tribute honoring our men and women of the armed forces. The piece includes the Kaysan Song, Army, Semper Paratus, Coast Guard, the Marines Hymn, the United States Air Force Song, and Anchors Away, Navy. When your song is played, please give a wave or stand up so that we can acknowledge your service. And several of our band members are veterans, and since it's very difficult to stand while you're playing, we'd like to have them stand now so that we can honor them.
Thank you.
This next piece, Liberty Bell March by the American Marching King, John Philip Sousa. The Liberty Bell was written for Sousa's unfinished operetta, The Devil's Deputy, but financing for the show fell through. Shortly afterwards, Sousa and his band manager, George Hinton, attended the Columbian Exposition in Chicago. As they watched the spectacle, America, in which a backdrop depicting the Liberty Bell was lowered, Hinton suggested, "The Liberty Bell." That's the title we need to have for Sousa's recently completed march. Coincidentally, Sousa received a letter from his wife saying their son had marched in a parade in honor of the Liberty Bell. Sousa agreed. He sold the Liberty Bell to the John Church Company for publication, and it was an immediate success. The march is played as part of an exhibit in the Liberty Bell Center and should be recognized by fans of Monty Python's Flying Circus as the theme song for that show. Was certainly a moving piece. Next, we have The Missing Man by Jerker Johansson, a most unique programming memorial, solemn and beautiful. Complete with muted trumpets, this quiet remembrance piece fits well with our Veterans Day ceremony. The title refers to the Air Force ceremony known by its jet formation flyover, The Missing Man. Now, our next piece, The 4th of July, is by John Kirkavas. This amazing pastiche of some of America's best-loved patriotic music really pulls out all the stops. A fanfare-like introduction leads into motifs of Your Grand Old Flag, Columbia, the Gem of the Ocean, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, before moving on to the main theme, America the Beautiful. You'll hear touches of the Quezon song, Give My Regards to Broadway, a march version of the Yankee Doodle Boy, and Over There, plus parts of Yankee Doodle, I Want to Hear a Yankee Doodle Tune, America, and Stars and Stripes Forever. It's a full-blown ending, which wraps up this patriotic extravaganza with a bang. Thank you. Now, just a couple of announcements. That concludes our presentation for today. But please don't forget the holiday concert, which is coming up at a new time. It's going to be Thursday this year, December the 12th at 7:30. Okay? And please don't forget to drop off your donation in Tubi as you head out the door, okay, for those of you that haven't had a chance to do that. Again, I want to thank you so much for coming. Please enjoy your holiday. Have a great Veterans Day to all of you, veterans and non-veterans. Thank you very much.